This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
Good. I hope you're not going to gloat over the Alabama victory over Notre Dame. But we've got somebody very important on the line right now we should get to right away. It's going to help us break the game down, and we'll talk a little bit of NFL football as well. Of course, I'm talking about Notre Dame legend and Toronto Argonaut legend and Washington football team legend, Joe Theismann. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Morning, Wally. Morning, Naz. Hope you guys are doing well today.
We're doing great, and happy New Year to you, Joe. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys.
It's our pleasure, Joe. The Irish, we didn't win the national championship this year. I look back on it as a great year for the Irish, quite frankly, who just lost to perhaps a generational team or generational offensive team in this Alabama team. I'm not embarrassed by the loss at all. They lost to a pretty good football team. Joe, your thoughts on the Alabama Notre Dame game, New Year's Day?
Well, it's interesting. It was it's a little bit like the Clemson game the week before. We're basically a run based offense. Notre Dame all year really hasn't been a team that throws the football much. They like to run the football. They like to control the game. They had a very long drive in the game. It's just that, you can hold the ball against Alabama for 9 minutes and get a touchdown. They're going to hold the ball for 9 seconds and get a touchdown with the explosiveness that they have. But I think it's something that Coach Kelly's going to take a step back and look at and say, we need to add an element to our offense to make it more balanced so that we do get behind. We do have the ability to put the ball down the field. And there's going to be a lot of changes at Notre Dame next year. Some of the offensive linemen will be graduating. Ian Book will be graduating. Looks like Drew Pine may be the quarterback going forward. But then again, they may find, you never know down the road who winds up being able to compete. But I thought we accounted ourselves very well. I'm very proud of the University of Notre Dame. I'm proud of the things that they accomplished. And go Irish still.
Absolutely. Naz?
Joe, what do you make of Ohio State's dominance over Clemson on Saturday?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think Ohio State's defense sent a message that, this is not going to be a game we're just going to lie down and Alabama's going to wind up, doing what they do. I think it's going to be an extremely competitive football game. I think, it proved that the two better teams of the four are going to play one another. Justin Fields, you wonder about his health a little bit. But I think defensively, Ohio State is better than Alabama. I think Alabama's always sort of had been a little bit of an Achilles heel, that secondary of theirs. Notre Dame managed to exploit it later in the game. So I think it's going to be a terrific championship. I really do. I'm looking forward to watching both Ohio State and Alabama play for the championship. I really am.
Joe, you're an astute observer of quarterbacks. There's never been a debate about who the number one pick. Jacksonville has the pick this year. It's always been Trevor Lawrence. For the first time ever, after the performances that Trevor Lawrence, fields the Ohio State quarterback, looks like he's always been slated to go to the New York Jets. Is there any debate there at all? Been opened up by what happened on the field the other day?
I don't think so. I think you know, I don't think Trevor really had much of an opportunity. I thought the offensive line didn't give him a whole lot of chances to do much. And of course, Ohio State's defense didn't give him a chance much to do. So when you break it down that way and you look at what, you know, what they're capable of doing, what they're able to do, both are young, terrific young quarterbacks. My favorite, though, of all of them is a kid out of BYU by the name of Zach Wilson. I think he is, he's a total package. I think he has the abilities to be able to run the football, if he needs to. I think he throws it as well as anybody I've seen throw the football. So, you know, I think there's going to be three or four kids that are going to help some football teams out going down the road. And I just hope that we don't get into this expectation where Trevor Lawrence goes to Jacksonville and all of a sudden, boom, they expect them to perform miracles. Normally, when a team takes a quarterback in the first round, especially in the first three picks in the draft, they need more than just that one individual. You know, Jacksonville isn't going to be all of a sudden, you're not going to flip a switch and whoever the quarterback's going to be, in all likelihood, Trevor, and you say to yourself, okay, everything's going to be fine now. It takes a little bit more and it takes a little time. So, but I like both the kids a lot. Like I said, I really like Zach Wilson.
Ness?
Joe, what do you make of Alex Smith's comeback of the year award, which he'll win?
That's phenomenal.
Washington.
Just phenomenal. I mean, you know, if we had Alex, I think the last couple games, it wouldn't be a debate today whether Washington makes it to the playoffs or not. But, you know, these are the kind of games you want to play, and this is a playoff game. Actually, the last three games for Washington have been playoff games. You know, if they beat Carolina, they're in. So now it's up to a major audience on Sunday night. Everybody's going to get a chance to see him play Philadelphia. I believe Alex will be going, which I think is good. And interestingly enough, Taylor Heinicke, who is the you know, other quarterback who played, he runs the offense in a very similar fashion. So, you know, I feel good about our chances. I love our defense. You know, how many times have we talked about defense wins championships? And I think Washington is one of the best in football.
Joe, bringing it a little bit closer to home, Southern Ontario, Western New York, is where we get most of our listeners from. The Buffalo Bills are having their best season, I guess, since the glory days of the early 90s. Your thoughts on the Bills?
I think the Buffalo Bills are the best team in the AFC. You know, I know Kansas City is you know, the defending champions. I don't think they haven't played well. I don't think the last couple of games. It seems like if you want to slow down that Kansas City offense, you just take Tariq Hill out of it and eliminate the big plays and make them work their way down the field. I've always liked Buffalo's defense. I think their offense has caught up with it. Stephon Diggs has added a tremendous amount to that offense. And Josh Allen just continues to get better and better and better. I like the Bills a lot. As a matter of fact, I like the Bills to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. I'll say it right now. First time I've said it, I said it on your show.
Okay. That'll keep our listeners happy. Josh Allen, third year. What an incredible progression in his game. What
it really is
your observations? What's allowed him to take it seemingly to an elite level?
Well, first of all, you add a receiver like Stephon Diggs, and it makes a world of difference. I mean, all you do, you know, look at the additions and subtractions on teams. Look at the addition of Stephon Diggs to the Buffalo Bills. Look at the subtraction of DeAndre Hopkins down in Houston, and you see the you see what one receiver can do. Devontae Adams up in Green Bay, what he means to Aaron Rodgers. You get that one guy who's a difference maker, and Tariq Hill in Kansas City. I mean, you take those speed guys outside who can make plays with the ball in their hands. And defenses have to be aware of them, which helps you run the football. You know, they go hand in hand. Keeping secondary guys back a little bit more gives your running game a chance to be able to do a lot more. So I'm excited for what Josh has been able to do. I think he's made better decisions. The more he plays, the longer he plays, the better decisions he makes. Because there's no question he has the athletic ability. But now, what kind of decisions do you make with the ball in your hand?
Naz.
Joe, what do you think the chances of the Packers advancing into these playoffs?
I like them too. I think you know. I mean, Green Bay is a tough place to play. They love it up there. They play very well at home. You know, they don't have a home field advantage when it comes to crowds. But if you get dressed to go to Green Bay, you better darn well dress warm. You know, that's all I can tell you. and that's the first thing on your mind. You know, it's just amazing. I know I played up there. I know what it's like to play up there in December and late. You know, you walk out of that locker room and that cold hits you and it's like, darn, this ain't fun. As opposed to say walking out in, you know, other places.
I mean, I guess the Bills can probably say the same thing. If they get the number two seed, they're going to have a couple of home playoff games, assuming they win them. And you know, Buffalo in January can be pretty nasty.
We know what Toronto's like in December and January. So yeah,
sure is. You know what? This is Zoomer Radio, Joe. Most myself and Naz included, and most of our listeners are old enough to remember the Ice Bowl back in Green Bay, back in the infamous Jerry Kramer touchdown where he led the block. So we know what it can get like in Green Bay. Certainly the Packers are looking pretty good. Another team that's got a big game today are the Brownies, Cleveland Browns. They beat the Steelers today. They're going to the playoffs. It's been a long time.
I mean, it's, you know, they're sort of losing steam coming down the stretch here a little bit, but a lot of that has to do with players that are unavailable because of COVID protocol. And then you get, the Steelers where Mike Tomlin's decided that he wants to rest some of his players. And I agree with that. I think it's a long season. People don't realize it's a long, trying season. And the most important thing is to have your people mentally and physically ready to go. And I think Mike's making the right choice. They're in. There's no reason to do that. I still think there's a little bit of issues when it comes to the Brownies because they've shut the facility down time and time again this week. And, you know, I think they maybe still be without some of the people they need. A lot of times this is a chance for, like, Pittsburgh Steeler backups, guys to be able to show up and almost play themselves onto the roster for next year. And then that's one of the things you want to see is, you know, how well guys play. I mean, how much of a difference is it between ones and twos? That's what we'll find out in Pittsburgh today. And can Mason Rudolph, you know, can he play the position? Because let's face it, you've got Phillip Rivers, you've got Ben Roethlisberger, you've got Tom Brady, you've got Drew Brees. What, maybe a year or two out of each of them? I know Ben wants to come back, but now you got to see what you have on your roster.
We're talking to Joe Theismann. Joe, I know you've been kind to us this morning, and you've got other obligations you've got to get to. I just turn over to Naz.
Walter, you can tell everybody I've got a tea time at 9:30. Okay, and I appreciate you moving me up. I mean, when we did this, it's 47 degrees here in Florida, but I still have a tea time. I'm sitting right at the range right now, in a cart facing the wind, trying to stay halfway warm. But yes, I appreciate you giving me a chance to spend time with you. And, you know, I just hope everybody stays safe and understands the protocol in every country. We've got to get through this. Hopefully the vaccines will get more and more people to them. And we just need to be smart. That's the most important thing.
Thanks for that, Joe. I will take this opportunity to wish you a happy new year again. I hope at some point in time, the borders open and I can be doing what you're doing this morning. So,
I sure hope so.
Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it. And please stay safe. And, hopefully we chat again soon.
Take care, guys. I look forward to it. Thanks. Bye bye.
Thanks, Joe Theismann. Naz, pretty bold prediction by Joe the Throw. Got the Bills going to the Super Bowl. That must caught me a little bit off guard. But some people are starting to say that. But it's a tough grind in the. There's a lot of really good football teams in the AFC this year. I mean, you got the Bills, you got the Chiefs, you got the Steelers. The Titans are a good team. You know,
Baltimore,
the Ravens, the Browns are a good team. We don't know everybody that's in the playoffs yet. There's still some games today that are going to make a difference. It seems like all roads go through Kansas City. They obviously are going to have the home field advantage. But there's a lot of really good teams in the AFC that, you know, I wouldn't call it a crapshoot, but
there's four or five teams that if they do go to the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yes? Yeah, they could be a team 11-5 and not make the playoffs.
What I read this morning, that's only happened twice in history in the AFC, I believe. A team 11-5 not making the playoffs. There's a lot of teams in the mix. I've always said, one of the keys of the success of the New England Patriots over the years, aside from, you know, Tom Brady being the so-called greatest of all time and Bill Belichick being a football genius and, you know, that, you know, the combination of Kraft, Belichick and Brady, that was obviously, I'm not going to denigrate from their achievements, but certainly one of the helpful factors to the Patriots over all these years is they always played in a weak AFC East division. It wasn't never that difficult for them to win the AFC East. And, you know, they ended up with home field advantage so many times in their 19 years of this era of the Patriots. They had home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And that's just, you know, that's an incredible advantage come playoff time. I always thought that was one of the keys to the success of the Patriots. Once again, you know, not taking anything away from Brady or Belichick or Gronkowski or all the great Patriot players, but it's big advantage having home field advantage during the NFL playoffs, isn't it, Ness?
It is, but you know what? You got to give them credit for 6 Super Bowls in 20 years. It's not bad.
No, I don't, it's not a criticism, but it just, you know what? When you're playing most of your playoff games at home, it makes it easier. I don't think there's any question about it. And that's what gives the Chiefs, aside from the fact the Chiefs are the defending Super Bowl champions and they've got a Hall of Famer at quarterback and some incredible players, you know, having that home field advantage, you know, in the NFL, perhaps more than any other sport, makes a huge difference at playoff time.
What did you think of the cell phone throw by Belichick? That
Sorry?
Should go down for, yeah, well, that should be this year's moment for Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he's always manages to create a moment. Interesting, you know, the Patriots have to regroup. Cam Newton didn't have the season that,
he looks terrible.
When Brady didn't, the way the Patriots ended off last season, I thought there was something significantly different in the Patriots. They lost the game. I don't know if you remember this game, Naz. They lost the game against Miami near the end of the season, and they were headed towards trying to compete to be the number one seed, and they lost an important game against a mediocre Miami team. And I said, there's something different about this New England team. It's not the same Patriots. And I think that may have been one of the reasons that Brady left. He could read the tea leaves, and he said, you know what? I don't think this team is going anywhere in the next couple of years. The talent level's not there. And he said, it's time for me to, if I'm going to keep playing football, it's time for me to move on. And I think that showed this year. This particular Patriot team, aside from the fact, you know, Cam Newton didn't have a great year, I don't think they're all that. I never get a sense that they're all that talented. And, you know, Belichick's a football genius. But you know what? It's pretty difficult to overcome a lack of talent. It really is. And I don't see much in this Patriots team. I've got to think that Belichick at some point has got to think about his future after this season, what the tea leaves read for him. But thrilled about the Bills. Were you surprised about Theismann's call on the Bills, Ness?
Not really. He's been touting them all year, and I'm not surprised. It's going to be either Kansas City or Buffalo in the Super Bowl, but we'll wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sold on the Bills. I've got to be honest with you. I'm a bit of a skeptic. 12-3. That's fine. Great season. Defense picked it up at the end of the year. Playoff football might be a little bit different. Josh Allen, having a weapon like Stephon Diggs certainly makes a difference in his game. wasn't terribly impressed by Josh Allen in his playoff performance last year, the year before. I think it's a different Josh Allen, but playoffs are playoffs. So the wild card here is, can the Bills take what they've done in this regular season and continue it through the playoffs? I don't see any reason why they can't. We'll see. We're about to find out. We are Buffalo Bills fans, have been. I've been since the 60s, old enough to remember when they won the AFL title in 1964. Jack Kemp was the quarterback. They had my favorite receiver, Albert DeBinion. I'm sure you remember him, Naz.
Yeah.
They had some other great players on those teams. And, of course, who can forget the great Buffalo Marv Levy teams, Jim Kelly teams, Thurman Munson teams of the early 90s, who thrilled us. And this Bills team looks like it might be about to write its own chapter, Naz.
Yeah, it looks that way. And what do you think of Levante Smith?
The Alabama receiver? We didn't, we just briefly chatted with Joe, and just to let our listeners know, we're going to be going to our second break. We'll have Eugene Melnyk, the owner of the Ottawa Senators, going to catch up with him. There's an NHL season that's about to start in the next week or so, week and a half or so, and the Leafs are getting all ready, and the Senators are getting all ready. So we'll be having an opportunity to chat with the owner of the Ottawa Senators, Eugene Melnyk. Stay listen in. It's going to be shortly. But going back to Devonta Smith, Naz. The Irish had no answer for him. I give Nick Saban and his offensive coordinator all the credit in the world. They just said, let's just get the ball in his hands. And, I knew the Irish were in for a tough evening right off the hop. Mac Jones would step back. The first couple of series for the Tide, Mac Jones would step up, take a couple of steps back from center. Devonta Smith would take two steps back from the line. Jones would rapidly fire it over to him, and three Notre Dame guys couldn't lay a hand on the guy. It's just this is a remarkable. It's by all accounts, he's going to be the Heisman Trophy winner. Remarkable talent. And just like Brian Kelly had no answer for him, and for that matter, good luck to the Ohio State coach trying to slow him down. I said before, if Notre Dame was going to win the game, which was highly unlikely, or if they were going to stay close, they would have had to come up with an unorthodox game plan. Brian Kelly played it close to the vest. It was Irish were predictable. I said, Irish were going to have to roll the dice. All kinds of blitzing, all kinds of crazy stuff on defense, get physical on the receivers, and they just didn't do that. And, Devonta Smith, the best player in college football this year, and the Irish had no answer for him, Naz, absolutely none.
He looks like Stephon Diggs with more speed. Can you imagine?
Yeah, he's, they couldn't. I felt sorry for some of the Irish defenders. There's no way you could cover this guy one-on-one, and certainly nobody the Irish had in their defensive backfield. And this is with the greatest respect. Like I said, I'm not here to be critical of this Notre Dame team or of Brian Kelly. I thought it was a great season for the Irish. It's not that easy, winning the national championship. But the Irish put themselves in the conversation. They've become a top five team. And there's no shame in that. You lost to a great, great football team. And Ohio State's got a pretty good football team, too. And, it appears obvious the two best teams have made it into the national championship game. And it should be a thriller. It really should. You've got two teams with a lot of NFL draft choices there. And it should be an interesting battle between the coaches as well. I don't know how you defend Devonta Smith, but my guess is the only way to defend him is you got to make sure the quarterback doesn't have much time back there. You got to get pressure on the quarterback. You give Mac Jones time, there's no way you're covering this guy. And then you got to deal with Najee Harris, who knows how to who knows how to hurdle a guy, a defender, 6 feet off the ground. I mean, what a play that was.
That was incredible, eh?
You know, you got 240 pounds. I don't know what his how fast he does his sprints, but you know, you got a guy, a punishing runner like that, who hurdles a defender to avoid a tackle, and basically, what was he about? He had to have been at least 5 feet off the ground.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
That was certainly, you know, Najee Harris is an incredible back. So good luck to the Buckeyes, but they look pretty good against Clemson. Clemson's a pretty top notch team.
And Ohio State has an advantage playing only six games and compared to Alabama playing 12?
I don't know if that's an advantage, Nass. I'm not, you know, it's there's time off between, I mean, the game, there's, you know, there was New Year's Day games, and the national championship is 11 days later. I'm not so sure that's an advantage or a disadvantage. I don't think it makes any difference. I don't know what the injury situation is on either team. I don't see that as a deciding factor at all. It's just, you know, it comes down to this comes down to, can the Ohio State coach figure out a way to stop that Alabama offense? And you know, the Buckeyes have shown against Clemson that they got a pretty special guy playing quarterback for them. So, you know, Bama's going to have to come up with a game plan to slow him down. Talking about the Ohio State quarterback, they got to come up with a game plan to, I think this more than anything else, more than any other game in a long time, the coaches and the game plans are going to have, and the ability to adjust game plans. I see this as a close game that could go, you know, I still think Alabama's the favorite, but
surprise, you know, they're 8-point favorites. They shouldn't be that high.
Well, you know, the bettors usually are pretty astute. You know, the I don't think you can stop this Alabama offense. The only way to stop them, and you know, you got to take huge risks. You got to blitz. You got to stunt. You got to hit the receivers. You got to get physical. And you got to put pressure on the quarterback. You give Mac Jones time back there, and you're looking at 50 points. I'm actually surprised. I think Alabama let up the gas a little bit against the Irish, and I think that the Irish holding Alabama to 31 points is almost a moral victory. Irish did have a good defense this year, but they just couldn't compete at that level. On that note, Naz. We've got to go to break, and we're going to come back. We're going to switch topics. We're going to talk a little bit of hockey and perhaps even a little bit pharmaceuticals with our good friend Eugene Melnick. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville and Headbands put our heads together to create the Family Game Night Special. Get two large pizzas with six toppings between them, four dips, six bread knots, or £1 of potato wedges, plus a free Headbands board game, all for just $36. It's the most fun you can have with your bubble. Order at pizzaville.ca, the Pizzaville app, or £3636.
Here's to every boy who thought his Bobby Orr rookie card sounded great in the spokes of his bicycle. Is only served to make yours in mint condition more valuable. And now it's payday. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise wants to buy your vintage collection of hockey, baseball, basketball, football, and soccer heroes. Now's the time to cash in while the hobby reaches new heights. If you got them, we need them. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise. Visit our store online at mintink.ca.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughn. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the number 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
Here's to every boy who thought his Bobby Orr rookie card sounded great in the spokes of his bicycle. His only served to make yours in mint condition more valuable. And now it's payday. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise wants to buy your vintage collection of hockey, baseball, basketball, football, and soccer heroes. Now's the time to cash in while the hobby reaches new heights. If you got them, we need them. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise. Visit our store online at mintink.ca.
The only thing I love more than sports is sports radio. Take it away, boys. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on the new AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM. On the internet, streaming, www.zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the owner of the Ottawa Senators, Eugene Melnyk. Good morning, Eugene. How are you this morning?
I'm great, Wally. How is everyone there?
Everybody's great. Thanks so much, Eugene. Thanks for joining us. First of all, Eugene, Happy New Year. And we wish you all the best of health in the coming year. And how is your health, by the way, Eugene?
Everything is fine. And thank you very much. I'm wishing all of you guys all the best as well. And looking forward to hockey starting very, very soon. And that's all we need to finish off, get rid of last year. And now let's start fresh with a whole new season.
We're certainly excited about the season, Eugene. hockey, NHL hockey is such an important part of for a lot of us as Canadians. We've missed it, and we're thrilled to have it come back in the NHL in the next couple of weeks. Eugene, the Senators, we had an opportunity to talk to Pierre a while ago. Things are looking positive in Ottawa Senators land. You must be thrilled about the performance of your first draft choice, Tim Stützle, in the World Juniors. Things are looking pretty good in Ottawa Senators land. Bring us up to speed.
Well, I think, Tim really showed off at the World Juniors, and we watched every German game we could. And I think that first game was a blowout that shouldn't have really happened that badly. But, you know, when you got 9 players out and you're not given time to replace them, it can be pretty brutal. But Tim really showed his leadership. I think he can't wait. I'm pretty sure he's already on his way, if not in Ottawa. I mean, this guy didn't fool around. He took off. And everyone else is coming in. Everybody's already. We started training camp a few days ago. And, they're all now in scrimmages and practices, and everybody's, very, very excited. We've got a lot of new faces, a lot of faces that were there as rookies last year coming back now. And it's a very young team. You know, just remember that. It's very, very young. And our best years are coming. But, I think you're going to start seeing things like Tim Stützle, who, showed off at the World Juniors. Now, it's going to be a little different story in the NHL when he's up against some of the tough teams and tough players. But, I everybody is so excited in Ottawa that we know that we have something coming, and it's just going to get better and better every game and every year.
Ness?
Eugene, what are your expectations, and what do you consider a successful season this year for Ottawa?
I think success would be being very competitive. It's, the Canadian division, I said this as soon as I saw that group, that there's going to be something called the Canadian division. I realized we're in for some real tough competition. I'm not one to sit and applaud the other teams, and especially, in Ontario and Quebec, but these are all improved teams. Every single one of them are. We're improved. I think we're more improved than they're improved, but they really did well. I think Montreal is very strong. Toronto's very strong again. And the Western teams and plus Winnipeg, and it's going to be tough. I'll tell you, if we can, we just want to be very competitive. I think it's going to be a tight division. And it comes down to, unfortunately, only four out of the seven get in, but, you know, into the playoffs. But, you know, for us, it would be just absolutely unbelievable achievement to hit the playoffs. And I think we can. I mean, you never know with these young players, but, you know, we're out to protect them. We just, you know, we just traded and signed up some veterans, some real tough players as well. Guys that you do not want to mess with. And, you know, their mandate is to make you absolutely miserable if you come to Ottawa. You don't want to play Ottawa. That's actually the rallying cry. We don't want you to enjoy coming to Ottawa when you're a competitive team. We're going to make it absolutely miserable for you. And that's mainly to protect all of these young players. You know, we just brought on and new guys just in the last couple of days, and they're on their way in. And, you know, you add that to guys like Galchenyuk and Nisimov playing there to protecting young guys and Branson. These are monsters, these guys. And, you know, you do not want to mess with them. And look, we're looking forward to it. That's all hockey. So as long as, you know, we can play the game, I think we're going to be competitive. And to answer your question, you know, we want to get out of the basement, obviously. And I think we are a competitive team at this point. If you talk to DJ, the coach, or Pierre, they'll tell you that we should be competitive. We should be there every game. And it will not be easy for teams to just beat up on us at all. I think we're going to be surprising a few teams.
We're talking to Eugene Melnyk. You know, we're in an all-Canadian division, which creates some, some challenges because I think, you know, the Canadian teams, as you said, Eugene, have all improved themselves, as have the Senators. Your thoughts about the all-Canadian division? Seems like, you know, in Toronto Maple Leaf land, I think we're excited about it. You know, we get to see Connor McDavid more often. You know, you got some great young talent. The Canucks have some great young talent, and you know, you create these rivalries. I'm sure this Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa, you know, access could create some interesting games because your guys are beating heads against each other quite often. Your thoughts how that's going to play out from a fan point of view?
Well, I think certainly Canadian fans are all going to get very familiar with the Canadian teams. I think it's going to be very, very exciting. And you know that one of the Canadian teams will be in what effectively is a semifinal. And this could be a year where there's a Canadian team going into the Stanley Cup final, and they could, you know, with a very good shot of actually taking it all. You know, a lot of teams have crested at the top. You know, Tampa's there. They lost a few players. Washington, they're, you know, they've lost a few players. Same with Boston. So, you know, we have a very good chance of Canadian teams to be right there, very competitive, and potentially competing for a Stanley Cup in the finals. So I think it's going to be great. I think there's going to be a lot of carryover. You know, for example, if there's a fight or some real, you know, animosity amongst a couple of players, and they'll just be waiting for the next game to show up, and that's going to probably within a week. So there's a lot of hockey, a lot of exciting hockey. I don't think anybody will get sick of seeing these star players, and they'll just get to know everyone that much better. So I think, if anything, it's going to unify a lot of the fans across Canada, but also make it very exciting. Because everybody, of course, wants to be the Canadian team, including us.
Yeah. Naz?
Brady Tkachuk. We got to see him 9 times. And we got to see the other Tkachuk 9 times. 18 times in a season. You said there's going to be animosity. Boys, there's going to be animosity.
Oh, yeah. Well, Brady's a very special player. And he has a way of getting under your skin. And he does it very, very well. And that's part of his persona. And it's also part of his talent. But, you know, you take a look at some of the other ones that Shabbat is going, you're going to start seeing that talent bubble up. you know, you've got Norris, you got Dadanoff, you know, all of these guys. And then, you know, then you're going to have Stutzla to look at. And, you know, don't forget, you know, Sanderson. So you got a lot to look out for, I think. And the same with every team, though. Toronto's got some great players that are coming in, as does Montreal. And, you know, as you notice, I'm very focused to the East. I don't know much about the Western teams. I, obviously, McDavid. But, you know, I'm looking forward to get to know those teams. But, you know, we have our arsenal, and we're going to do our very best to compete. And one of those ways is getting under the other team's skin. And Brady's a big part of that.
We're talking to Eugene Malik. Eugene, one of the highlights, I've got to tell you, one of the highlights, one of the images that I will remember from 2020 happened on NHL draft day. And the Ottawa Senators, the way you introduced your draft choices, I thought was just remarkable. I don't know who came up with the idea. I'm about to ask you that. But, of course, I'm referring to, you brought in Alex Trebek, who has since left us, and God rest his soul, just a truly class Canadian. But you brought in Alex to do that in using the Jeopardy motif to announce right. your draft choice. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was poignant. I thought it was a great moment. We'd all known about Alex's health problems. And to see him on the screen announcing the Ottawa Senators in the Jeopardy mode, I thought it was brilliant. I'll always remember that image. How did that come about? I guess who thought about it? How did it progress? How did you make it happen?
Well, it was actually my girlfriend and I were sitting trying to figure out, you know, what can you do that's special? And I was going all the way back to thinking that, hey, what do we do if we actually get first pick and you take Alex Lafreniere? And I was going to throw a huge party in Ottawa, outdoors, you know, all safe and distance. We actually had city approval for a distance event. And it was going to be outdoors. And it was going to be a big, big party. So when we didn't get Alex, I still thought, you know what, we knew who we were going to get. We knew that we were going to get Tim. It was up like several days before. And, you know, he'd never heard of, or if he did, it was barely heard of Jeopardy. But, you know, we just took a shot and had the marketing people call up Alex's, Trebek's agents. And said, you know, we got this idea. We're from Ottawa. He's got a lot of ties to Ottawa, which they obviously knew right away, because Alex went to university there, Trebek. And it was they said yes right away. It wasn't even a discussion. And then they just ran with it. I mean, you got to hand it to those people. They, you know, my people set made sure that we get everything organized properly and we get everything done properly. But at the end, they took it upon themselves. They did the cold card, you know, that says, and they, you know, all that whole setup. We didn't expect that. All we wanted him was on a green screen, kind of say, "Hey, this is the pick." But they turned it into a whole production, and I think the NHL was really pleased with it. And for us, it was important that we make it a special event because I think this is, you know, we have high hopes for Tim Stutzla. And, you know, we brought him into the organization in a very unique way. And I think it's all, you know, it's all forward from there. But that's basically the genesis of it. We just wanted to make something real special. And that's something that we came up with.
You certainly did make it special, Eugene. And my congratulations on that. Naz, go ahead.
What are the chances of the Ottawa Senators going to the playoffs?
Oh boy, we're still, you know, it's, I think it's still very early. That's the objective. I think that we really needed a center and we just got him. We were short one player. There's nothing else we need to add at this point. I got to be honest with you. There's, you know, we've gone through, we're done. Pierre has a couple more signings to do, but, you know, now to answer your question, I think it's better than a 50-50 shot. I really do. And that's just not me talking. It's the internal group that has to manage these players. But with a little bit of luck and a couple of players stepping up, I think that we have a very good shot. And, you know, we think it's, I personally believe that there's no one dominant team in Canada. I really don't believe that. Some people say, yeah, but they're all localized and they think that way. You know, you talk to a reporter in Montreal, he's of course going to tell you that the Habs are going to take it in a sweep. And then you talk to a Toronto reporter, half of them will tell you that the Leafs will take it. And you go to Ottawa and everybody's just hoping, we're hoping. But, you know, we just finished a rebuild. That's the key. And which meant that we had three very bad seasons, which we expected. We completely expected this. And now we're just coming out of it. How quickly we can get out and get into, you know, all of the different systems that they have to learn and play effectively as a team. You know, that's up to these players. And the talent we have, we think we have it. I think we have a good shot. I think it's better than 50-50, put it that way, Dan.
I think you do, too. I think Montreal is overrated, but I think Ottawa has a really good shot at making the playoffs.
Yeah, we're kind of thrilled with Pierre, what you guys are doing with the Senators. We'd really like to, obviously, we want to see the Toronto Maple Leafs win the Stanley Cup, but we want to see the Senators rise. We want Ottawa market to be as healthy as possible. We want you to be successful. Eugene, just a couple of minutes left. I chatted with you briefly about this over the phone just before we went on air. I got the opportunity to listen to an interview you did with Bob McCowan and John Shannon a little while ago, and it reminded me of, you know, you're an Ottawa Senators owner, but you have an incredible amount of expertise through your businesses in the pharmaceutical industry, and for lack of a better term, you're an expert in a lot of things that may be going on in the world. We've got a vaccine, we've got COVID, we've got all those types of issues. Eugene, right. And I wanted to give a footnote to McCowan and Shannon because I think it's only appropriate. What's it going to take from a medical perspective to get fans back into the seats at a sporting event, an NHL game? And in what time period do you foresee that?
All right, I'm talking, I'm not speaking on behalf of the NHL or, you know, any formal group. Just my personal opinion, just based on my experience, I've been very consistent since March, and nothing has changed in my mind. There's a vaccine, or several vaccines, as expected, that would come out that claim that they have the ability to somehow deflect the COVID away from people. I don't think that we're anywhere near the point that you can count on that vaccine. There's no, you just can't. You can try it, you should if your doctor approves it. But, you know, I'm one of these people that I've seen it all my life. Since I was 20 years old, I've been in this business. So I've pretty much seen it all in the last 40 years. And we are still a bit away from having a vaccine that you can absolutely rely on. And I think what's going to happen, this is a multiple year process. I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, but the fact is that these vaccines especially need time. Time is not your friend when it comes to developing vaccines. It takes time. It takes testing. And we still don't know the long-term side effects of these vaccines. And we won't. You know, when I used to develop drugs, and these were known drugs that people have taken for decades, and reformulated them into new released drugs. That's all I did. And, you know, it became a huge hit. We still had to do thousands of patients in testing of known drugs, known side effects, everything known about them. But we were required to do safety tests. We're now taking drugs after 9 months of development, not even, and saying, okay, this is safe, effective, go ahead. Well, that's not correct. However, if you got nothing else, this is what you're left with. I think that we are, by the time, the best thing you focus, and everybody should be focusing on, is testing and testing and testing. Everybody wants the same thing. They want to be with big groups of people. We're social animals, and it's terrible. What you don't see the effect of COVID is what it's doing to mental health across the world, of people being isolated. What you need is the assurance that if you go to a party, everybody at that party has been tested and is clean. I just came off of an event with a dozen friends. Everybody went through the same protocols. We all got tested. We all were in a bubble, and we didn't get off. I was on a boat. Nobody was allowed off the boat for 10 days. Nobody, period. It was a total bubble. I'm a believer that you can have fans in right now, like today. And I've got a plan, and it's been submitted, that we could put up to 6,000 people in our arena very, very safely by distancing, testing, putting on a mask, and just making sure that you do all the right protocols. So it can happen already, guys. We can do it.
Eugene, I just want to follow that point a little bit. I just want to know how it's going to work from a I get the part about that you can have people distanced when they're sitting.
Yeah.
How do you get 6,000 people into an arena and distance them while they're getting in without lineups and that kind of stuff?
It's pretty straightforward. The way you do it is you basically, you sit in your seat until you're called. And it's section 116, section 116, all even rows. Go to the left, you guys get out. And you just, people will distance themselves. It'll just take time. That's all. So it's going to take you an extra 10, 15 minutes to get in and get out. And I think people are cautious enough that they kind of stay away from others when they're walking around in tighter quarters, as long as people are educated that way. And you don't have you got pretty educated people coming to hockey games. They're not dummies. And they know that if they're going in, they've been read the Riot Act. They're constantly through public announcements being told, you just hammer into them. This is the way we're going to see things going forward. And, they can jump up, but you're in a bubble. So there's nobody around your little bubble of 4 to 6 people or two. If you take a look at the football games on television today, take a look. The ones that have people in the stadiums, they're distanced enough. You're not hearing about any super spreader events. And that's exactly, I think if you hand it over to the private sector, we have a responsibility, we have liability as well, and we'll ensure that it happens with the proper oversight. And it can happen, guys. We can start tomorrow. We just need to convince the regulators, and in this case, the local regulators and the province, that we are responsible people, we know what we're doing, and we know how to get this executed properly. And we can start right away. It's got to start small, with a lot of testing. If you ask me how far are we from a reliable, safe vaccine, I think it's 3 years. That's my bet. No, but you can still take this one. This one could work. I personally wouldn't take a vaccine for at least another, personally, 6 months to a year. Not until I see what everybody else, what happens to other people. But if you think you want to take it, and take the risk. It's safe enough that people aren't dropping like flies. But it's much better than getting COVID. COVID scares me, and very few things scare, medicine scare me. But this one, you just don't know the long-term effects. And I'm working on a bunch of projects, one very specific project on how we can do testing without needing blood or saliva. And, we're a couple of months still away, but bet on science. I can tell you that. You can bet on the brilliance of the scientists around the world. This will be solved. It will. You try to rush this stuff, and you just can't rush it. Unfortunately, it takes time and patience, and it doesn't seem to be a lot of that around these days. But look, I'm optimistic it will get solved. We will get back to, I hope, 18,000 people in our arena. So,
but
we can do seven now.
Yeah, we've been talking to Eugene Mellon. Eugene, we've run out of time. We wish we had more time. Listen, we want to thank you so much for this. The conversation has been very, very illuminating. We appreciate you sharing your expertise with us in so many different areas, especially your expertise when it comes to vaccines and the whole drug industry, pharmaceuticals. We very much appreciate it. We wish you the best of health.
We wish you a happy
New Year. And we look forward to the day when everything's up and running and we can, Naz and I can get in our car, go down the 401 and come and see the Ottawa Senators in Ottawa. We look forward to that day.
Yeah, me too. Well, thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it and have a great day.
Same to you. Eugene Mellon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Naz, we got a minute left. We got the Leafs coming up. You made a really bold prediction on social media this week, Naz. You think the Leafs are going to win the Stanley Cup?
Well, this is the best shot they're going to have in a while with playing in the Canadian division.
Is it? Well,
too bad they didn't sign Chera, though.
Well, I read something about from Steve Simmons this morning on why they didn't. They had to make the move on Bogosian, and when they made the move on Bogosian, they really didn't understand. The Chera situation hadn't played itself out yet in Boston, so that may have been a timing issue more than anything else. But that the big guy back on the Toronto Maple Leaf defense would look at that salary range would look pretty good. Naz,
Clock
has struck 10. Last words.
Bills will win the Super Bowl. That's what Joe Theismann says. Or we'll be in the Super Bowl. I agree.
Hopefully.
With
To all our listeners, once again, a happy new year. Be safe, and we'll be back again next Sunday morning. Have a great week.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.